Well, this being the last Sunday of Advent, a time when, as we all know, we've not only looked behind, but with an expectancy, we've looked ahead. And part of that expectancy and looking ahead is to the birth of the Christ child. Now, everybody loves a baby. If you don't love a baby, you're in the wrong church here. Although, I've never realized that at this time, all the babies leave the service. I had planned to pick up Kyla and carry her around for a few minutes. If you don't love a baby, don't get around my wife with her iPhone, because she won't show you just one picture. She'll show you 801 pictures from the time the child was born. We look forward to that which is coming. And that is right, because it was one of those shifts where the world has never been the same. And you know, as I look forward to what is coming, I also, with some sadness, realized that Tuesday's almost here and gone. Tuesday evening, it's over. If you don't believe that, look at what the stores do. I mean, this is about shopping, isn't it not? I mean, if we spend as much time in a year witnessing for Christ as we do in a month and a half shopping, this world would be saved, because no one would not know. But by Tuesday evening, all the presents will have been opened, all the stuffed turkey stuffed, all the carols would have been sung, and Christmas 2012, in many ways, for many people, would be a memory of what I received. Then it dawned on me last night that 14 weeks later, we're going to be celebrating the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Know this, that then can't happen if this now doesn't happen. For Christ had to come and be one of us, be among us. And for 30 years, he lived whatever normal was back then. And I got to tell y'all, back then, normal wasn't normal. I got to set some examples of what normal was. Mary, blessed of more than any other woman. Mary was 13. Joseph was an old geezer. He was in his 30s probably. See, back then, men didn't rush out and get married. They went and built their business. They went through their apprenticeship, and they built their business, and then by arrangements, they got married, and then they built a room under their parents' house, and that's where they lived until they started growing their own family. It was a different time. Praise God, we're not back then. But Mary, in today's society, should still have been playing with Barbie dolls or whatever they played with back then. The one phrase that just kept coming over and over to me as I looked forward to this week was that of humbleness, of humility. And at 13, 14, Mary was a humble woman. Mary, and this isn't the scripture for today, it's a little bit before the scripture for today, but Mary, when approached by the angel, didn't freak out. but in hearing the angel said, "Be it done unto me by the will of God. I'm available." Today, if God was to send an angel to most of us, I wonder if we'd be available. Because what I've learned in Scripture is when God goes through the trouble of sending an angel, it's not going to be an easy task. It's not going to be a cakewalk. And then that got me on this whole thing of what's with this humbleness? Joseph in Genesis was humble, thrown into prison because of a lie of Potiphar's wife, deceived by a cupbearer and a baker when he prophesied their dreams, where one died and one was returned to his place of position. And then later the king brought him forward because of a dream. And I might have at that point go, "You need me now? You didn't need me back then? Forget you." Joseph was made under the Pharaoh, the most powerful person in the land. David was a humble man, a shepherd, whose parents left him out, didn't even think he was important enough to come meet the prophet, left him out tending the sheep. In the book of Esther, we have Mordecai. Over and over, we have people of the gospel are in the Bible that were humble people. None, I dare say, more humble than Mary, who at 13 or 14 thought it not weird that an angel would come to her. How do we rate? And that's the question for today. How do we rate in that humble category? Some of us have a real issue with pride because we have such natural abilities and we always want to use them and they come so easy. But God gives no credit for pride. What He has given us naturally to do, our inclination is to do, we're to do it. But that's whatever He has for us is greater than that. He had to give you the skills of your natural ability to accomplish the supernatural that He wants you to accomplish. And so today, instead of the text of the gospel reading, which is where Mary, who in being told that she was going to conceive by the Holy Spirit, that even now her relative Elizabeth was 6 months with child. Elizabeth was already a barren woman. And she was 6 months with child. And Mary immediately flew as fast as you can walk, that's flying, and went and visited Elizabeth. And I used to say Mary had to get the heck out of town because Mary was not a very popular person. What 12-year-old or 13-year-old is going to tell their parents? "Honest, an angel came and told me this. I haven't had a relation." And to tell her husband, "Honest, no fooling." No, I think Mary went to see Elizabeth to be testified to that God was doing something. And it's kind of neat when Mary entered the room and Elizabeth, you know, there was no texting in those days. "Hey, I'm coming over." Well, today we don't even come over. We just retext and retext and retext. And I'm surprised at the number of you that the minute you get a text within 2 seconds, there's a text back. I'm going, "What were they doing?" Y'all, most of y'all know I'm not really, I can barely text now. And then they got all these other words I don't understand. But I want to pick for the scripture today a scripture out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. I am what I am. I am what God has made me to be," He is saying. "I'm not what you think I am. I'm not what I think I am. I'm not what my parents told me I was. I am what God said I am, and I'm fulfilling that role, though it's hard to do." And so we have the structure that I want to ask you today. Do you know how you're coming with what God wants you to do? And I don't buy what He's not talking, because I know I'm not, that I and Tom Abbott are not the only men who have committees that talk in our head all the time. Oh, that they would hush at 2 a.m. I want to give you 4 tests to know your humility factor in doing what God has given you to do, that's found here. 4 voices. See, I believe that voices are, I believe that God is speaking to us. I believe the devil is speaking to us. And worse than both of those, I believe we talk to ourselves to try to convince ourselves what we want to do is what God really meant. It's our interpretation of what God has been saying. I love the scripture that says, "Be still and know that I am God." One time I talked about a fast of quietness. That's the hardest fast to do. I can't get my mind to be quiet. But we need to know what God is saying. And more important than that, if we want to be used by God, we need to be humble by the fact that He chooses to use us. So, the first voice that you need to hear, the first voice will say, "I am not what I used to be." And this is a good measurement for us to know. Because if you've been in Christ 10 years and you're same as you were 10 years ago, guess what? You didn't get on board and you're not in Christ, because the boat left the dock. There is a sanctification process that we all go through. It's kind of like, and you've all heard the analogy, that it's like a peeling of an onion. The outside is kind of wrinkled and old and crimply. But the more you go into the center of the onion, the sweeter the meat. So if you're the same as you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 2 years ago, whenever you came to the Lord, then you're not surrendered. And there is no sanctification going forward. I can tell you, 20-something years ago when I came to the Lord, I am not that person, and I can only look forward, if God should tarry, for the next 20 years on who I might be. And I'm always going to be using the test upon myself. I am not who I used to be. If I'm not how I used to be, what are the things that have changed? This is the voice, by the way, of memory. This is the voice that reminds you of your past and the things yet unrepented for, unforgiven, unreleased, that are holding us and binding us. God says, release it. I know some of your parents were less than wonderful people. I know that. I had a couple myself. Poor Josh. Bobblehead. All I can tell you is what I can tell you about my parents. They did the best they knew how. Younger guys, y'all weren't affected by the Depression as us older guys' parents were. Even bad memories here are helpful because it brings us a sense that will humble us by the fact that God's presence in us has moved us from whatever that was, from that attitude. Now, I'm sure that none of you were ever racist. I'm sure of that. Yeah, I know you're from the South, but you weren't racist. I was. God brought healing. I'm the only guy in my 12th grade English class. This is a terrible confession. When Kennedy was assassinated, that clapped. I was a stinker. I was a real stinker. Praise God. Y'all think I'm a stinker now. You didn't know me then. I can remember after a couple of years being at St. David's that Janice and some people threw a surprise birthday party for me. And there were 40 or 50 people there, and I went. And I wanted to walk out. I said, I don't know why this many people were here. And the guy looked at me and said, no, I said, 10 years ago I'd have walked out of this. And he looked at me and said, 10 years ago we couldn't have gotten these people here. See, we all change. In Christ, we all change. We're all being sanctified. Has God finished with me yet? I pray not. By His mercy and by His grace, I will continue to be sanctified until that day I appear before Him when I close my eyes in this world and open them in the next. Life is a process of growing. Paul remembered that he was a persecutor of believers, and it served him well to remember where he came from. No, he was not a persecutor of believers when his name was changed from Saul to Paul. No, I'm not a racist where I was. I am something else, and I'm getting better at it. Whatever that something is, God is moving me. God is moving us. It is not sufficient to mark time. The second voice you need to play in your mind is, I'm not what I ought to be. God's not finished with us yet. It's the voice of our conscience. It's the voice for me that remembers the oath that I used to use. And my big oath now is either dirty word, dirty word, dirty word, or my wife hates it. Everything's fine. It's our four-letter word. And out of TV, I've gotten the new one, happy, happy, happy. Whatever it is, happy, happy, happy. God's not finished with me, but there's a voice of consciousness. Those things that used to never bother me render me almost incapable of movement today because my conscience is being sanctified. And no matter how long you're a Christian, there are things that we can do more. I'm not doing what I ought to do. I'm not praying enough. By the way, for some of you early arisers, and I will encourage all of you to start being early arisers, you've noticed that starting last week at 9:30, your rector's council is here at prayer. That's not a closed prayer. Come and join us. We're seeking the will of God for our life, for our church's life, for your life. We've determined that we've got to press in. It's not because we're here, we're not swirled away in some room hiding. It's a public issue, and you're invited to join us. 9:30. And that has ticked Satan off. Unbelievable. but we're pressing in. Do we need to pray more? Yes. Do we need to care more? Yes. Do we need to witness more? Now I've gone to meddling. Do we need to be more thankful? Do we need to be more loving? Do we need to be more holy? See, I'm not what I ought to be. Sanctification is a work in progress. And may I never get tired of being challenged by what God is doing. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 said this, "Not that I am already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which is in Christ Jesus as he took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God had called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Sanctification is a process. We're ending a season of Advent. I'm ending it with challenging you to pray with us for 2013 that we might be more filled. The third voice that I want you to be aware of is, I am not what I hope to be. I said, I am not what I used to be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I hope to be. This is the voice of aspiring. Two great aspirations for Christians: to be more Christ-like and to enter heaven's gates and take as many people with us as we can. There was a story given to me by a pastor that most of you know that 18 years ago marked me. And in it, it was a dream. And in the dream, he had died. And he went up to heaven, and there was a long line in front of the pearly gates, so he got in line. Standing there a little while, St. Peter came down the line and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Follow me." And he went by tens and twenties and hundreds of people. And he got to the head of the line, and St. Peter said, "Come in." He goes, "Wait a minute, what about those people?" St. Peter looked at him and said, "Oh, those are the people that could have gotten in had you witnessed to them." We need to be prepared to bombard the gates of heaven with people that we have shared the living gospel with. It is not a dead gospel. It is a living word that bears fruit, and it will not return void. It doesn't matter. One time I was operating an intermediate care facility for mentally retarded, and I just love to throw one person out of my office. I just like, he would come in Bible thumping me and I would throw him out. He won. The word didn't return void. Did he do it? No. But he put enough seed in there that God started waking me up, and I'd come home and I'd tell Jan, "He's weird, but he's funny. He's weird, but he's funny." They took us to a Charles Capp meeting. Made Jan and I sit. They sat between Jan and I. I would have gotten up and walked out. There were idiots running around, screaming, carrying on like they had lost their marbles. I wasn't used to that. I was an old Baptist boy. But the word works to perfection. Abraham Lincoln, when he was a boy, shucked corn for 3 days to pay for a used copy of The Life of Washington. And after he read the book, he said, "I don't intend to ever shuck corn or split rails in all of my life. It's too much work." Someone asked him, well, what is it that you want to do? He said, someday I'm going to be the president of the United States. And I said, this is a child. They laughed at young Lincoln. We don't laugh because we know the rest of the story. God has an intent for us. We've got to have the aspiration, the gumption, the drive, the push to what he says. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have done. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. That's a promise of Jesus Christ. How many of us have raised the dead? Oh, let me get it. How many of us have shared salvation with someone else? Greater things than Christ has done is the expectation for us in our society. We get too cocooned and we get too comfortable and we don't have the aspirations to accomplish that which God has called us to do. Hear the good news. As Father Ed always says, this is your takeaway. Christ has more hope and expectation in you and in me than we have in ourselves. I'm not who I want to be. I dearly want to be everything that God wants me to be. And I don't know how I'm going to get there. But many of my prayers start with, I don't care what I lose if I gain what you have for me. The fourth and final voice, by grace of God, and this was in the scripture, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it should have said, deal with it. This is the voice of true humility. See, we have this concept that humility is weakness. That's a false humility. We have this concept that to be humble, we must give in on every situation. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Used to live that, and then I would explode and people go, no, humility is being very comfortable with who we are, knowing that God has more for us, and not being as Joshua was when he first started telling his brothers his dreams that he had, bodacious and awkward in our development. See, God shows us things, and we got to wait for him to bring them about.